Blog Talk Radio.
If you're coming with me, you need nerves of steel. 'Cause I take corners on two wheels. Well, it's a never-ending circus ride. Pain of heart need not apply.
Hey everyone, guess what? I'm back! Oh! Thank you all for the texts, the phone calls, the messages. It makes me feel so special knowing that you're listening. I did take a little bit of time off, had a lot going on to catch you up. I started back to college, and so anyway, I graduate in a couple of months. Yay! Pray that I pass my state boards because, you know, without that, what good's degree? Seriously, okay? But, yeah, I've had so much going on, and I guess a lot of you know, I recently became engaged. Yeah, hell didn't freeze over. It came down near close, I guess, but I did meet someone after I started back dating. Thank you, Robin, for giving me, you know, the get up and go. You and Carla both kicked me in the butt, so get back out there. I did, and so I met someone that I do feel like might be my soulmate. We'll see. I'll keep you updated. If he turns into an asshole, we know we'll just send him on the way, you know. But it's just, it's hilarious to even consider that me, I finally met somebody that can put up with me and I can put up with them. But, yeah, I'll be getting married here in a couple of months. And, you know, to think I was going to cut back on doing the radio shows, but he has really pushed me. I quit my full-time job, and now this sucker's what I got going on. You guys, I mean, he's allowing me, or not allowing me, he's encouraging me to keep my talk show going and to get my next book going, Redneck Dating After 30. I'm looking for some pictures. If you've got some, send them to me on Facebook on my Beyond the Barstool page. Just message me your picture. Do keep in mind, though, when you send me these pictures, they're going to be used in a book that if you go to Applebee's and you think it's a bar, don't read it and don't send the pictures. And it will be international, but you will be releasing the rights to Beyond the Barstool to publish in our next book, Redneck Dating After 30. So I had recorded this wonderful show with Annette Rochelle Aben prior to me getting taking a break, you know, and working full-time and going to school. So I want to share with this, and I will admit the audio on this sucker did not come off as well as I would like because my computer is old, okay, but it gets the job done. But anyway, I want to share this show with you. I was being asked by a friend recently, he says, you know, how come when we break up with our exes, why do we have to be so hateful? Why do we spend time hurting each other? Why can't we all just be friends? And, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, yeah, you know, I do encourage well for my exes because my second ex was a child, still is a child, and he needs that push sometimes, and I like to give it to him because his mom didn't give him the swift kick in the ass because she felt sorry for him, so that's my job, you know. He is my ex-husband, but, you know, when he has a problem, who does he call, me or text me? But my first ex-husband, he's got a wife that gives him that swift kick in the ass that he needs. But to see him do well is wonderful because he is the father of my children. So, you know, I don't say sit down, go to lunch with them because I think I would fork both of them if I did. But I'm saying moderate, you know. You've got to be friends. There had to be something there for you to have been a partner or a mate. I mean, if there wasn't something there, you wouldn't have tried it. And so you've got to still care a little bit and remain friends. I mean, if you're going down the road, you get a flat tire, and that ex passes by you, do you want them to stop and help, or do you want them to drive by and give you the finger? I mean, that's just the thought I keep in my mind. So let me go ahead, turn this sucker on, because I love listening to Annette. She is a wonderful person, she has been one of the best people to encourage me, and just I get her daily angel messages, which you can subscribe to on her website, on Facebook, Annette Rochelle Avon Communicates. Her angel readings are just magnificent. So here we go. Get ready to have your ear talked off and laugh your ass off. Welcome, y'all. Annette Rochelle Avon. Today's show is actually going to be about how to treat your exes nicely. And Annette, I know you had some experience with a crazy ex as well as I have.
Couple of them, actually.
I'm telling you, I was at work, and this gentleman came up to me, and he said, "Can I have a picture of you?" And I was like, "Why do you want a picture of me?" And he said, "Because my ex and I are having issues, and she doesn't believe I can get a date." And he said, "I want to show her that I can get a beautiful date." And I said, "Sir, we're not dating." And he says, "That's okay. I can show her a beautiful lady on my phone, and it'll make her jealous." And I thought, yep, that's about how it goes.
Alrighty then. Well, you know, I mean, it's a nice thought to me, but you don't need no aggravation to somebody thinking you're dating somebody when you're not. But that was an
idea. I know, but that's how men work. That to me, that is exactly how men work. But some women are that way, but most of the time it's men, because they, I don't know what's wrong with them. Which I've heard a few crazy stories of the women at work talking about when they break up with their exes. And I'm not in no way condoning them go out and do this, but they put staggered bars in the gas tanks of them when they catch them cheating. And apparently that ruins someone's fuel injection system. Oh, my gosh. I'm thinking, you know, why the hell can't we all just do them? I mean, if I'm going down the road, I have a flat tire and an ex drives by, I don't want them to be a hater and, you know, turn around and give me the bird or something. I would like to be friends and then stop and fix it for me.
Right. And I agree. And you know, and it's funny because I got divorced in 1989, and I have not married again since. Now that I haven't had the opportunity, I've been this close to being engaged. And I say this close, I mean, my fingers are almost touching. And it isn't that I didn't want to. It's just that there were times that I sat there and I went, really? Really? Is this really what I want? So, that being said, how do I get along with just the exes I was dating or the ex-husband? And I have to say that becoming okay with my ex-husband was a very slow process. But we had something going for us that you don't have, and that is we don't have kids. We never had kids. I couldn't have children. So we did not have little ones that we had to deal with. However, that being said, I have dated men and been very close to being married to men who do have children and grandchildren. And today, to this day, 14, 15, 18 years later, these people still call me mom. So how do you deal with the crazy exes or not get crazy and go, you know, ballistic on them? I think you have to have a real keen sense of who you are and realize that there are people in this world, one quarter of the world's population, you are not going to get along with at all. Just face it, folks. There's one quarter of the world's population you are never going to get along with. Probably we will date the majority of them. And I say that because if people go out looking like this guy just wanted your picture so he can prove somebody, yo, I can get a good-looking woman, look here. But would he have actually made a good match for you? No.
Oh,
why? Because he's still doing battle with the ex. And that's the sign right there. When you go to date somebody, or marry them or do whatever you're going to do, you want to see how they talk about and how they react to any contact with their ex. If there is anger, if there is tension, if there is stress, you go to the other side of the bar, send them a drink and wave. Because if they're still doing battle with that ex, when you guys become exes, guess what? You're next on the list. In fact, they'll just chop the head off of the oldest one and take care of you next. And I think that was when I realized if I want to get straight with somebody else, I have got to get straight with my ex. Now, you do want to talk about it, I offer him and say, "Hey, Dan," because his name is Dan, "you want to sit down and talk about why we didn't work out?" And he just looked at me like, as if. And I thought, "Hey, dude, I'm just letting you know. If we can talk this through, I think we can, you know, get on the other side of it, blah, 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 blah. He want to talk to me? That's fine. He want anything to do with me? That's fine." But I decided that I had to make a choice, be happy or be right. because all the reasons why I left him in 1989 are still valid today in 2015, and that's a scary frickin' bot. Scary effing bot. So I thought I needed to be happy. So there you go. And that's how I got on the other side of it. And then there were extenuating circumstances in the last year that brought to light a mental and emotional condition that he had, and he has had since he was probably a little kid. Now, we did not know this. My ex was going to be 65 very soon, and we did not know this until it was diagnosed by a psychiatrist in the last year and a half. And at that point in time, when that diagnosis became public, all of the friends that treated me like the Whore of Babylon when I left him 20-some years ago got in touch with me. Most of them did and said, is this what you were dealing with when you were married to him? And I said, uh-huh. I go, why the hell didn't you say anything? I said, because I didn't know. I thought it was me. And now, even though it's been ages since I decided, hey, just get straight with it because it is not going to clear up, by walking away from it, it actually turned around when I least expected it and blessed me with the validation that I was not crazy. So, I mean, I'm giving people kind of a background on my personal story, but so there you go. I mean, that's how I got okay with my exes, is I just decided, you know what? I'm going to be happy. I wish them well. If one of them says, hey, I just got married, I'm like, hey, where are you registered? You know, or hey, I just, you know, this and this. I'm like, hey, congratulations. Because what I give out, I get back. And I found that by speaking myself that way, I'm such a happier person. And Lord knows, I want to be happy.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what I tell any of my friends. The first step to getting over an ex is moving on. And I don't mean jumping in bed with an ex. And that's what some of my guy friends do. The big thing is, you know how to get over him? Go to the next one. I'm like, oh, no. That's not, you've got to figure out where it went wrong and figure out if it was you. I mean, I won't lie, I had a jealousy issue in my last marriage. I mean, but you have to figure out, I was an idiot and got basically remarried out of another marriage. So I didn't even take time to heal myself. I did basically jump, you know, from under one under another one. But, yeah, and it took, basically, I love my second ex-husband to death. I'd do anything for him. I was a jealous bitch. But she gave me a reason to be because, you know, I did catch him cheating. But he, in his words, I forced him to cheat because I had accused him of cheating so much. And he's like, well, if you were going to accuse me of it, I might as well do it, which is not the smart thought to have. But that made me realize, you know, wake up, kid. Something's not right here. So, you know, I've been divorced for going on 5 years now. But it took that and a lot of counseling to realize, you know, you got to be happy. You know, it would kill me to see that he was dating someone else. You know, I'd sit and cry and think, oh, what did I do wrong? Why can't we get together and have a family? But he did beat the hell out of me regularly, so that was a good reason to not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it took, really, you know, the counselor told me, he says, you have got to set time for you and get to know you. What can you tell me about yourself? And that is the first, you know, way to get a healthy relationship, I think, is you've got to get to know yourself and write down the qualities you look for a mate. But now my first ex-husband, boy, I was so glad to see that one go. Oh, man. I think I put a stamp on him and sent him on his way. And I love to see him doing well for himself, but we do have kids together, and, you know, we can't get along like oil and water, you know. You put us in the same room and we'll smile and wave and get along, but you take our kids out of that same room and the gloves are on, the battle's ready. But, yeah, I mean, didn't you were saying before at one point you were helping him when he was sick?
Right, and that was where all the issues came about, you know, when we decided that we would still remain friends, and I don't even think it was a decision. So nobody decide anything. I just refused to be his enemy, even though in his mind there was every reason in the book for us to be enemies. He did not want the divorce. It wasn't that it wasn't amicable, but if he had his way, he would have fought it. although he didn't, which is, you know, contrary to terms. So the point I'm trying to make is at one point I just decided, you know, there's no reason to hate this guy, and I'll just be friendly and be his friend if he needs anything. And he didn't reach out to me frequently, but he did reach out to me at one point and told me that he was having these thoughts of wanting to kill himself. Well, I don't take those things lightly, having been there myself. I get that. But I didn't know what the next step was. So I just prayed on it and prayed on it and prayed on it. And one day I got an email, a Facebook message, I should say, from somebody who really didn't know me, but she knew I was his ex-wife. And she said, you know, I saw him at a party the other night. He's not look good. There's something wrong, da-da-da-da. And at that point, when a neighbor of his and my sister and I decided, that's it. I said, we got to get him some help. So she called 911. And sure enough, he had survived a suicide attempt. And this was why he was looking so ratty and things were going so wrong. And then there's been a couple more suicide attempts since then. He's now under the care of guardians and doing apparently very well, for which I am exceedingly grateful for. He's not dead because he was trying to take his own life because he literally was in that deep pit of depression and despair. Had we not remained some kind of friends, he would never have reached out to me, and he may very well be dead. It would be a little over a year now that he'd be gone. Now, is that a good or a bad thing? I don't know. I'm grateful that he thought enough of my friendship to reach out. I'm grateful that he allowed my family and my friends to help him, as well as to bring me into his circle of friends that he's created over the last 26 years that I don't know. These people I've never met. And I do stay in regular touch with his guardians, and how's he doing and what's up. But, and however, one of the things that I found was incredible was how a lot of people who are in so much pain still from their relationships reacted to what happened. Everything from, are you kidding me? Why are you even involved? To, you know, did you help him? Did you cause him to do this? So what the other thing is, I think people need to realize when you decide you don't need to, you know, be crazy angry with your exes, is you want to be careful who you tell. You want to be careful what you say to your friends and your family. I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to vent. Hell no, vent. For God's sakes, have one or two really trusted people that you can look at and say anything that comes out of your mouth, and they had better not be looking at you like you're nuts. So I'll throw words around that are not befitting my humanity. I mean, seriously, I come up with some combinations of words. People go, is that in the dictionary? I say, well, if not, I'll write it in. Give me a dictionary. But when I'm around other people, I'm very careful what I say. The world is small. There's only 6 degrees of separation between you and anybody else. 6 degrees of separation between you and whatever else. And the whole idea, again, is if you're angry, be angry. Be careful where you vent, and be careful who you vent to. Because you never know when you're going to say something, and it's going to come back to you in the weirdest of ways, and someone will say, hey, did you ever say such and such about me? And you're thinking, hell, I didn't say that. Oh, yeah? Well, you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know that so-and-so. Why? Well, guess what they told me? Now, at once you're going, oh, crappy doodles. And maybe it was just a moment where you were pissed. Maybe it was a legitimate reason to be angry. But I firmly believe that because I never said the things that I felt I needed to say to his friends when we got divorced, it's why all these years later they were willing to work with me when we were trying to help him get better. Who did I say them to? Counselor, psychiatrist, and a minister. Why? Because I trust them to keep my secrets. And, of course, my sister, my mom, you know, those people. But even then, it was hard to believe because he never exhibited those tendencies. I mean, my abuse was completely under the surface, under the radar. Yours, God bless you, was completely visible. You know, somebody popped you in the chops, you wore that bruise for a hell of a long time. They couldn't see my bruises, so nobody believed me anyway, which is why I told my story to the doctors and the shrinks and whomever else, because nobody believed me. It was nuts. And that was another reason why I wanted to be friends with him. I was terrified what the hell he would do.
Well, the thing is, too, when you're venting, you've got to be careful, because if you vent, like if you vent out to your best friend, this happened and all this, and then you and that person decides to get back together, that best friend's still going to have in the back of their mind what a, you know, an asshole and all that they are. And you're going to have no support system when you're getting back together. I mean, yep. That's just, that, and that's why we have to be careful who we talk to. my counselor and I were talking the other day, and I said, you know, $75 an hour, I really can't get everything out because I'm not going to mortgage my house for it. But, you know, it's like she said, you've got to find one close friend to talk this over with, but you've got to be careful because if a friend goes public with some of this stuff, you know, you're looking at some major issues here. And, you know,
but you want to be careful who agrees with you. And I'll tell you, my mom had a friend that she knew since kindergarten, right? And as time went on, the friend, you know, my mom got married, the friend got married, and they married the kid, the guys that they were dating in high school. Well, Paula and Joe, we'll just call them, got divorced. And Paula come over crying to my mom about, oh, you know, Joe, this rat bank and all this other stuff. And my mother's agreeing with her. And, oh, yeah, what a piece of work and all this other stuff and blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what happened? Paula and Joe got back together again. And guess who never spoke to my mother again?
Yeah, that's it. That's why we have to be careful. I mean, dating is, God, it is confusing. I'm working on another book, and Redneck Dating After 30, because honestly, when I got married at 19, I never thought I would be single after 30. But I'm going to say dating after 30 and up, actually after 35, it got really confusing. Because, you know, you're in your 20s, and really, who gives a damn who settles down with who because you're not ready to settle down. But after you're over a certain age, you're dating, looking for a spouse. And to me, that makes dating so much more difficult because you don't go out and just go out to have fun. You go out looking at this person kind of under a microscope. And so if you do get in a relationship, you've got that microscope on. And then when you break up, all the bacteria that you had growing in the microscope is like, damn, there it is. This guy was a piece of something. And it's not their piece of something. They're just not the right one for you, and that's fine. You should try to get along. You never know what's going to happen as things change.
Well, and you know, too, and you just brought up a really good point, because when you said earlier in the program that, you know, you're dating and you meet this person and then all at once, this and that happens, you married him, and you couldn't keep your jealousy under control. You know, you were concerned, you know, this was happening and that was happening, which, of course, you know, it wasn't until at one point it was. But at one point, when you were worried about it, it wasn't happening, and obviously nothing he said or showed you or did could calm you down or get you to see reason. However, when you finally do get to that point where you can say, you know what, I'm not going to forget, but I am going to forgive. Because to forget means that you might, you know, bring in the same type of energy. You just reset your mind to say, okay, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I had. That's great. Now I know contrast is great because it shows you what you don't want again, so no big deal. But when you get that feeling of together inside of you, when you don't feel the need to be afraid anymore, I think dating gets easier. Because then, when you know that you're not holding anything against the ex, you're not holding anything against this person, you don't automatically go out with that feeling in the pit of your stomach of, oh, my God, what if I meet, you know, crazy person number 83 or crazy person number 84, and I can't blog about this, but damn it, I sure want to. So I think that by making a point of choosing to be happy rather than right, I think it's a very simple choice. Two words, happy, right, happy, right. In certain cases, I think you need to be right. In other cases, I think you can sacrifice right for happy. It's amazing how things come together, and it's amazing how dating gets easier. Now, do you still get fooled by people? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got fooled by a tremendously clever and witty, charming man who had, you know, he had two master's degrees. He was an airline pilot at one point in time. He had played on a Major League Baseball team. He was an architect currently when I met him. I mean, this guy was amazing. And everybody that saw pictures of him or met him went, God, that guy's good looking. And the guy was good looking. But we had sexual preferences that didn't jive. And when he said to me, you know, well, we're going to have this relationship and we're going to do this, didn't ask me, told me. That was the first red flag. The second thing was when he said to me what he expected of me in bed and what he wanted me to allow him to do in other people's beds, I went, no, that's all right. Now, he was totally shocked, but I didn't go along with that. But because I was so okay with my need to be happy and right in that instance, I didn't have a problem breaking up with him. Not a problem at all. To this day, which has been 3 years, he cannot speak my name, talk to me, see me, call me, connect with me. He blocked on Facebook the whole nine yards. And I'm like, dude, I don't care. But see, there's the difference. There was a time I would have said, you know what? How bad can it be that he wants me to do this? Or how bad can it be that he wants to go do that? Well, let's try it for a while. But in my heart, I knew, oh, hell no. That is not the life I want. That's not the way so, again, it's to be happy, be right. And in that case, I had to be happy and right at the same time. Now, did it cost me a relationship? No, it saved me a lot of heartache, potentially another divorce, because he wanted to marry. But I couldn't live with it. So because I was in a better space, I could see that. Like, you know, Lanya Van Zandt has a saying, if you see crazy walking on the street, on your side of the sidewalk, cross the street. And I immediately crossed that street, and, ooh, Lord, I've never been more gratified. I swear to God.
And that's the thing, your self-esteem was up, too, is the way it helped you to say, not just no, but hell no. you won't believe what this SOB wanted me to do, you know. And that's the thing is, you know, you probably kept it to yourself. And, you know, I've dated a few of those nutsos like that, too. And actually one ended up finding a mate that agrees with him, and they're happy in that relationship. And I'm going, that's great for her. You know, he and I are still friends. He'll call me, you won't believe what we did with you. I'm going, oh, well, wow, you know, this is going in my damn book. This is, wow, she did that, okay. You know, but that's good for them. And that's what,
yes,
when you're not with an ex, you don't have to depart, you know, busting out windows, tearing each other's throats out, and you definitely don't have to go out with smoochy hug. But what works for them and don't work for you is something that you just have to say, that's great, I'm happy for you, but somebody else down the road is going to be the one you need because it's not meant for here. But you can't go out and work back, because when you do that, you don't keep friends that way.
No, and a really sad and scary thing is a lot of people will say to themselves, you know, well, why can't that person just change? Why can't that person just be what I want? Why can't that person... You know what? Let me give you the number of my therapist. He was real good. He'll get you through it. Because when you look at somebody and you want them to change, that's a big sign you are not ready for a relationship yet. When you look in the mirror and you say, I am perfect and everybody I meet is screwball, crazy. That is not true. Girl, men, whoever is saying that, you really need to do a reality check here. That is not true, and you bloody well know it. However, because there's something inside of you that is hurting and in pain, you want to believe that that's the truth. There's nothing wrong with what you believe right now. But if you are not happy, you need to take responsibility for getting happy. If you want everybody else in the world to change so you can be happy, reality check you right here at the door. Ain't going to happen. And you have the power to do this, because all it takes is for you to decide, I'm going to be happy. I don't need to be right. And if it comes like the point with this guy where he was asking me to do things that sideways and thought as if, then I chose happy and right for me. Not that he needed to change. I wish him well. I hope to God he found a relationship that brings him everything he wants, because when he was telling me about it, he was really excited. And I thought, my God, that guy's happy to have all that out. God, he finds it someday. Because that was a smile to his face.
You can't help but scratch your head looking at him like, are you serious? You've got to be kidding me. The story, I'm like, holy shit. I mean, for real. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I will be the first to say I do ask for pictures sometimes, because it's unbelievable. I mean, but yeah, that's the thing with exes. You can love them or hate them. There's really, sometimes there's an in-between, but not very often. And the thing is, if they're an ex at one point, you love them for some reason. Yeah, my first ex-husband, I'll be the first to tell you, I was young. We were both young, immature, and idiots. And that led to a lot of abuse, verbal and physical. And then, you know, after we divorced in 2007, we're currently still trying to work on some issues, which you can't work, because the thing is, when they stay immature, and you grow up, it don't work out well. But the thing is, while he's going around town, word bashing me, talking stuff, and I'm just looking at people like, okay, you believe it? You know, look at me. Look how I live. You know, at one point, I had men moving in and out of my house with my children, and so I did what any, I guess, idiot would do, but I invited people in. I'm like, come on in. See if you find a man living with me. But eventually, once they see the word bashing are lies, because if you go out spread lies on your exes, people tend to kind of judge you through what you have coming out of your mouth.
Exactly.
But that's the thing that, it's hard for people to realize. It's actions speak louder than words. If you get on with one, you know, close the door on one relationship, move on happy with another relationship, people are sitting off to the side watching. You know they are. And maybe Mr. Right or Ms. Right is sitting off to the side watching how you handled it. And that's going to attract. But it's just, you've got to get comfortable with yourself and accept where things are or where they're going to go and just move on. But the biggest part is you got to be happy for yourself. And that's been the hardest thing for me to learn, because I'm the Band-Aid. I like to try and make everybody else happy. And, you know, sometimes you can't do that. You just have to make yourself happy. And that's why whenever I heard your story, I was like, oh, my God, no one's going to believe this. Because, you know, my second ex and I, we stay friends. There's times when he's a severe alcoholic. And so, you know, he'll get off doing something stupid, and his friends will message me, you won't believe what he's doing. Can you call and chill him out? And used to, I would call and chill him out. But when he heard that, you know, I did start dating again, it caused a little bit of an issue. But I would still go out of my way to help him out any way that I could. Now, whether he would do that for me, probably not. But that's where we go back to, why the hell can't we still be friends with our exes, you know? And that's what I've had to explain to the gentleman that I date now. You know, he has children with his first wife, and I'm like, y'all two should be able to get along because you've got kids, and you've got to put up a united front, because kids are like the cross your heart bra. They like to divide and conquer. So if they've got mom, dad over here, dad over here, they're going to be out in the corner field doing whatever the hell they want, because that's just how kids work. I mean, especially teenagers, you have to admit, when you were a teenager, if you could get mom and dad's back turned, you would have some fun.
Well, you know, and it makes all the sense in the world, because when my parents got divorced, I was 20. So it was an entirely different world for me, but I had siblings who were still teenagers. And, you know, mom would say this, dad would say that, mom would say this, but hell, they were saying that back when everything, you know, we were a family still together. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. Dad said, you can do it, and you started out the door, and mom's like, where are you going? And you tell her, and she's like, I didn't say you could do that. You're thinking, really? Really? He just said I could, and I made the mistake of saying that one day. I ended up all the way back down the basement stairs, laying on the ground, looking up at my dad, and he's like, what did you do? Just told her you said I could go outside, and he shook his head. He goes, don't do that, because she knocked me, and he sent me fucking. It was like, okay, fine. So the idea with that was, like, crazy stuff, but you're right. It does go through kids' minds, and when you're looking with kids in a divorce situation, or you've been together a long time, then you separate, there's that feeling of them thinking you might leave them someday. So I think a lot of that playing mom and dad against each other is the fear that they're going to turn around one day and they're not going to have either one of you. So if they're looking, they're still looking for that sense of security. But, yeah, why should we be nice to our exes? Because, dadgummit, we deserve better in our lives, and we deserve happiness. And the only way to get it is to set ourselves up for it. And when you let go of all that pain and you work through it, maybe not let go at all of it right away, but it takes time. My gosh, there's no reason why you can't be friends. And if they don't want to be friends, then bless them, love them, light a candle for them someplace, send them an Easter card, do whatever you got to do. But then if they don't want to be happy, then quit trying to make them be happy. Just go, you know what, that person ain't ever going to be happy with me. That's okay, fine, who cares? And move in that direction. You know?
Yes. I try to explain to my first ex and his wife, I'm like, I am so happy for y'all because, you know, you're good. You got remarried and you should have a great life, and also the babysit, because they had, you know, she's got three kids and I've got two kids, so you can't really date with my kids. So I'm like, why don't you let me keep the kids and y'all go out? I said, that is cool with me. I like to sit home and watch movies occasionally. And the poor girl, you would have thought I said, go eat arsenic and die, because she's like, no, you just want to watch our kids because you want to put stuff in their mind. That's what you want to do. You want to make them think you're better than I am. And I looked at her and I said, no, I'm not any better than you. I'm just glad that you took him off of my hand. You know, maybe you're what he needs, because I don't feel like babysitting. And, you know, words did get crossed and things did get said that apparently, you know, I made her more pissed off than she should have been. And no, I didn't end up babysitting. But I am that comfortable, and, you know, I wish that my ex would get to that point where we've gotten along one time, and that's only because we caught our teenage son out behind of a school building doing stuff he shouldn't. And his thing to me, he said, Dad said I could do it. So I just went, and I said, come here. You know, my mom, bless her heart, has to deal with the crazy lady. And I said, it's important that you come here. And so he did come with me, and I took my son in front of him. I said, did you say he could make out with that little girl? And he looked at me, he said, well, no, why would you ask me such? I said, because you said he could, and so that's why he's doing it. And, you know, we worked together, and he got really bad scolding, but if we hadn't got together and united, then it wouldn't have worked out.
Well, thank God it did. Thank God you have, you know, you might not have perfect relationships with all your exes, but Lord have mercy, you are so making other things happen. And I just can't thank you enough for sharing all your stuff with me and letting me share my stuff with you and the listeners, because it's never perfect until you're okay with it. And if it's perfect for you, it's okay. You know, that's another thing. Just real quick, don't measure it against what anybody else is doing or done, because you're going to make it work the way you're going to. We're all so unique, and all relationships are unique. It's just, we got to quit comparing. That's a whole other story.
that's a whole other episode, guys. That's it. Oh, thank you so much. And aren't you fixing to be in another book?
You know, actually, I've got two more books that are on their way. I'm working with a lady, and I promise you I'll get in touch with you when I get the green light to move forward with this book. Lady I interviewed on the radio today with an organization called Wigs for Kids, and she's been doing this for over a dozen years, and her company supplies all the wigs, the counseling, everything to kids that have lost their hair to cancer, things like alopecia, severe burns, if they've got that disease where they just pull their hair out, whatever. So I'm in negotiations right now with her. I am currently working on a cookbook for a friend of mine, and then I have two other books that I'm working on that we don't have set in stone yet. So, yeah, I'll be glad to let you know about those, because, you know what, I just realized writing is my life. So other than having birthday parties, which I'm getting ready to have for my sister in just a few minutes, I write. So, yeah, so there you go. But thank you, Ms. Jen.
Now, can they follow you on Facebook? It's Annette Rochelle Aben.
Annette Rochelle Aben Communicates. Yep. Annette Rochelle Aben Communicates is my author page. And please go there and follow me, and just let's hook up and talk to me about what you're doing, and tell me about your radio shows and your books and your movies and everything you're doing, because, heck, fire, you know, be careful what you say to me, that you could end up my next book.
That's exactly how it works. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm telling you, I didn't know if we were going to get this thing done, and I'm so glad we did, and I'm glad I got to talk with you again. I love talking with you. It's always fun, and everyone check me out, Beyond the Barstool, always, and I've got that Christmas Miracles book out. Check it out. To help support little Elise's parents in that battle of cancer. I'm telling you, cancer sucks. That's just how it is. And I just want everyone to have a great weekend and a great time. Annette, thank you again for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure. Take care. Have a good weekend.